God's grace and peace be to you as we gather for worship today. Again, pleasure that you're out here. I'm glad the weather didn't hold you back. At some point, we had to expect winter, didn't we? I mean, at some point, we had to know that it was going to happen, right? You can only live in the 60s and the 50s and even the comfortable 40s for so long before winter actually has to show up and remind us that we have muscles in places that we didn't think we did, and remind us that we're anxious people. We are anxious people. We're afraid of falling. We're afraid of being caught in a snowdrift with our car. We're not as sure and certain about things as we might otherwise be. I think winter teaches us a number of lessons, including certainly that we should trust in God and not in ourselves, because if you trust in yourself, you may find yourself in very dire straits. But if you trust in God, God hopefully will give you wisdom to know where to turn, wisdom and discernment as to what to do and how to do it. So hopefully that's the case. And always, and in all things, kind of think about other people. You know, it's your needs are important. The needs of others are also important. Remember your neighbors. Remember those who are across the street and you don't know exactly how they're doing. Maybe give them a phone call. Find out if they have any particular needs. You know, especially as I say, when it's hard to get around, when the roads aren't as clear as they should be. Remember your neighbor and your friends. Good to be with you. I have an unabridged concordance at home. And an unabridged concordance shows you every word that appears in a particular version of the Bible. And I use the New Revised Standard Version, the NRSV version that our denomination uses. And so I can find any word that appears in the Old or New Testament, if I choose to do that. And so every once in a while, I will do a word search to see how many times a word shows up in Scripture and where those particular words do show up. The word lamb shows up, I believe, 111 times in the Old and New Testament. And it shows up in particular places when the people of Israel, the children of God, are talking about sacrifices. You will see several places where sacrifices of a one-year-old male lamb, unblemished and unstained, is done as a sacrifice in the temple. That shows up many times. You, of course, find in another place in Exodus where the proper observance of the Passover is cited, and how a lamb is to be killed, and how the Passover meal is supposed to be shared. You also see that for the first Passover, that the blood of the lamb would be put on the lintel or the doorposts of the door to keep the angel of death from slaying the firstborn in the household. You will find that also. If you go to the book of Revelation, you cannot help but see the word lamb show up. And the lamb sits upon the throne, and although the lamb has been killed, he is alive. And so the lamb is Jesus. He's symbolic of Jesus in the book of Revelation. And again, you cannot miss the word lamb in the book of Revelation. But the actual phrase Lamb of God only shows up twice in the Bible. It shows up twice in one gospel, the Gospel of John. And it shows up twice in the Gospel of John in today's Scripture, in today's gospel story. So my hope is that you see how peculiar that is. And it's peculiar because it takes a lot into consideration. It takes all that we have from the Old Testament about lambs into consideration, that a lamb is a sacrificial animal. It is innocent, and yet it is the perfect sacrifice at the temple. And so the lamb is that symbol, but it's a Lamb of God. It is, in many ways, a sacrifice not only to God, but a sacrifice from God. And so Jesus is pointed to as the Lamb of God, twice by John the Baptist, as a way of many maybe saying what Jesus' mission and what Jesus' function here on earth is. He takes away the sins of the world. Only the Son of God can do that. Indeed, he's the very Lamb of God. He's a gift from God and a gift to God, a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice. And so in the first chapter of John, we see kind of a foreboding of what Jesus' ministry is going to be about and how his ministry will culminate with his death upon the cross. And certainly it follows with his resurrection and ascension. But this idea of a sacrificial death. For us as Christians, this idea of sacrificial death for the sake of our sins is so very important, because it allows us to believe that in Jesus Christ our sins are forgiven and we have the promise of eternal life. There are many people in other religions, there are many people who have no religions, who are daily trying to live a good life, daily trying to pay for their sinfulness, daily recognizing that they've come short again and again and again. And so their life is, if they are serious about their faith, burdensome, heavy, cold, hard. For debts have to be paid. In Schuylkill County, you don't have to convince people that debts have to be paid. You really don't. We're people who know debts have to be paid. And the debt of our sinfulness can't be paid by us. We neither have the skills or the ability or the righteousness in order to do so. We need a Savior. And the Lamb of God is that perfect Savior, the one who pays the price for us so that we can live freed from the burdens of eternal damnation, joined in love with God, and able to do good and great things in His name. My hope as you hear this is that you will celebrate this Lamb of God. For indeed He is worthy of celebration, worthy of all honor, worthy of all glory. In many ways, the Epiphany, the season of Epiphany, is God revealing Himself to us. And so John does exactly that. He recounts the story of our Lord's baptism. In fact, last week we heard how Jesus, as he came out of the water of the Jordan following His baptism, he heard the voice of God and saw a dove alighting upon him as the Holy Spirit. We know that Jesus knew that He had been baptized and that God had honored Him with voice and by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the Gospel of John, even John the Baptist knew it. God had granted to him the ability to see Jesus in this way, to know Him as the very Son of God. The life of Christ is a remarkable life. We can't do exactly what Christ did in His life. We can't perhaps do the kind of miracles that He did. But we can love like Christ. Indeed, we can love with the same love that God gave to His, that the Father gives to the Son and the Spirit gives to us. It is the same love. And so as we move through the season of coldness into warmth, through the season of darkness into light, let us strive to love with the same kind of love. It's easy to love people who are kind to us and nice to us. It's not easy to love people who cause us problems or perhaps are suffering themselves. There are people who suffer so much that they make the world worse for the people around them. It's like people with a toothache. It's hard to be friends with a person who has a toothache because they just don't want to be friends with you. The world has an enormous toothache, and there are a lot of angry, hurting people out there. Let us see if we can reach out to them with the love of Christ, recognizing they may not necessarily love us. But it is our job to love them and to do the best we can for them and to think about the Lamb of God, for He paid the price for our sins so that we could help a hurting world and perhaps lead them to that same Lamb. Thanks be to God. Amen.